You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards. And today is Monday, April 26th. And today's show features our guest from Detroit, Michigan. He is Abayomi Azikiwe. He is editor of the Pan-African Newswire. And we brought him to town in order to give a presentation at the Defenders Annual Fighting Fund and Community Awards Dinner this past Saturday night. And the topic was the expanding U.S. economic and military role in Africa. And Abayomi, I want to say welcome to Virginia.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a great pleasure to be here in Virginia, and I've learned a lot since I've been here, and of course, it's been a tremendous experience interacting with the Defenders, and of course, having the honor of speaking at the Defenders Annual Dinner.
Thank you. That's good to hear. yeah, Virginia is a very interesting place, and triggers a lot of different kind of conversations, and certainly at the dinner, you get exposed to, I think, a pretty good range of the people who are involved in different struggles in Richmond and in this, really throughout the state. Most of the struggles in some way or other reach out statewide. And you are equally deeply involved back home. So it's not just the Newswire.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I've been an activist pretty much all of my life, not just adult life, but as a teenager and even before that, coming from the state of Tennessee and having the very, very significant experience of being a participant as well as an observer of the civil rights struggle during the 1960s in the southwest part of Tennessee. And I attribute that experience in 1965 and 1966 to my consciousness that has evolved over the last several decades. And I went to Detroit as a very young person in 1967, right around the time of the largest urban rebellion in the history of the United States in the Motor City. And after that rebellion, of course, there was more political activity in the auto plants, in the educational system, in the communities. And, of course, that experience propelled me to look at the struggle as an international one and took a great interest in what was going on the African continent, and had the pleasure of traveling to Africa and traveling inside of the continent, particularly in Southern Africa, extensively during the early part of the 1990s. So I have been blessed to have these experiences, to be a part of not only the struggle in this country, but also the struggle aimed at the total liberation of Africa.
Talk a little bit about why it's important for us to have that international perspective, and why we need to be thinking about the U.S.'s role in Africa right now.
It's very important because right now the United States ruling class, successive administrations, whether they be Republican or Democrat, have taken a keen interest in controlling the price of natural resources, the importation of natural resources from Africa into the United States, and of course the militarization of the U.S. Economy. Extends into the African continent. Now, we hear a lot about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We hear a lot about the U.S. role in Palestine. We also hear a lot about the current situation involving the development of more progressive and left-wing regimes in Latin America. But we hear less about the U.S. Foreign policy towards Africa. There are many geopolitical areas on the continent where the U.S. is very much involved in trying to contain as well as control the developments that are taking place on the continent. Mm-hmm. I talked about at the dinner the role of the U.S. in Somalia, in the Horn of Africa, yeah. Also in Sudan, which is like a gateway between North and Central Africa, the U.S. policy towards the Southern African nation of Zimbabwe. Also, the role of the U.S. military in the Gulf of Guinea, near West Africa. We also have to take in consideration the role of the oil industry More and more oil that's imported into the United States is coming from the African continent. The West African state of Nigeria, over the last several years, has been the largest importer of petroleum crude oil into the United States. Last year, however, they were outpaced by the Southern African nation of Angola. So we also have oil that's being imported from other areas as well. They have oil in Gabon. They just discovered oil in Ghana, also in Uganda, in Mauritania. And the U.S. has a very, very serious position in terms of trying to control not only the price but also the flow of this very, very important strategic resource into the United States. So we have to be very much concerned about what's going on there. And because Virginia is an excellent case in point, my thesis is that the history of race relations in this country strongly determines the character of U.S. foreign policy towards Africa and other parts of the world. In Virginia, this is the first former British colony that imported Africans for the purpose of enslavement beginning in 1619 in Jamestown. And then, of course, even after the United States became a nation in and of itself after the British colonial rule was overthrown in the latter part of the 18th century, the slave trade expanded during the latter years of the 18th century. It accelerated during the early part of the 19th century. In fact, as a reward to a lot of the Revolutionary War veterans, they were given land, free land, which belonged to the Indians, in order for them to extend their control westward. And of course, the Indian peoples, the nations, had their land stolen from them. And then, of course, our ancestors were brought here for the purpose of enslavement, for economic exploitation and oppression. The profits accrued from the exploitation of African slave labor really was responsible for the development of industrial capitalism in England, in France, as well as in North America. So if we look at the history of African enslavement in the United States and the whole economic system of super exploitation of African people, we can see clearly that there's a direct relationship between that history and how Africa is viewed today inside the United States, not only by the ruling class, but also by other social classes in this country, because the corporate media determines how people view Africa. And that is very, very important. So I think it's really essential, the work that we're doing, in terms of giving a different perspective on the history of Africa, the contemporary situation in Africa, as well as U.S. foreign policy towards that continent.
When you talk about the expanding rate at which other nations in Africa are supplying the United States with their oil, and new discovery in Ghana and Gabon and Angola, it makes me think about the fact that we've had a lot of focus on the Middle East in terms of controlling the oil flow and the oil reserves that are available. But is it possible that the amount that is going to be coming out of Africa to the U.S. can compete with that in terms of what the amount we're trying to control? And therefore, is there going to be a shift in focus from the Middle East to Africa? Will it take be of a higher priority at a certain point? Is that why AFRICOM is there?
Well, of course, I think both regions, because they're very close together geopolitically. North Africa, in many instances, is considered part of the Middle East. And, of course, if we look at the Arabian Peninsula, which is right across from the Red Sea, if we look at the Gulf of Aden, which also flows into the same region in the so-called Persian Gulf, it's very much interrelated. The developments in the so-called Middle East and the developments in North Africa and West Africa and in the Horn of Africa are very much interrelated. AFRICOM, the Africa Command, was started 2 years ago. And the U.S. Administration under George Bush was attempting to establish the headquarters of AFRICOM on the continent. And in 2008, this was met with a lot of opposition from countries that were both friendly to the United States and those that were more independent and less friendly to the United States. It seemed to be a uniform position on the African continent. They did not want a U.S. Military command stationed on the continent. Now, in response to this, the U.S. Has developed projects with individual African countries. For example, in Mali, in Mauritania, in Uganda, in Ghana, the U.S. Military has developed training programs where they claim to be assisting these various African states to enhance their security apparatus so they can fight against, quote, terrorism, unquote. And they're claiming that Al-Qaeda is gaining more and more influence in various parts of Africa. In Somalia, they're claiming that the one of the leading resistance movements there, Al-Shabaab, they're claiming that it's part of the Al-Qaeda network, even though they have denied such. Also, the movement in Maghreb, what's called the Al-Qaeda movement in Maghreb, they're claiming that it's part and parcel of the same network that Osama bin Laden and others are a part of. And also the situation in Sudan as well. They're claiming that Sudan is an Islamic fundamentalist regime and that it is aligned with Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Palestine, and that they're smuggling arms, you know, from Iran to Sudan underground through Egypt into the Gaza region of Palestine. So yes, all of these developments in regard to the focus of U.S. militarism are clearly related to the African continent as well. So we have the occupation of Iraq, where it's quite interesting that they have gone into Iraq now for 7 years, and what has come out of that? The destruction of the infrastructure inside of Iraq, the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people, the deaths, some have estimated up to 1 million Iraqis. And also we have to look at the over 4,000 U.S. troops that have been killed in Iraq, the 1,000-plus so-called allies that have been killed as well. We can look at the number of American soldiers who are coming back who are wounded, tens of thousands of them who have been wounded. We have to look at those who have closed head injuries. They're saying another group possibly extending into the tens of thousands. Those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, they're claiming now could be over 200,000 U.S. soldiers and former U.S. soldiers. So it's really been devastating, this whole foreign policy that's rooted in militarism. And I think it has a lot to do with the character, the current character of American capitalism and imperialism, that it's at a point where it has pretty much exhausted, you know, all avenues of exploitation domestically and to a large degree internationally, through overproduction, through unequal trade, and total unequal proportional representation in regard to economic and political power. So today, militarism is becoming more and more a key aspect of U.S. Economic strength.
It's the business of today.
The Pentagon spends in excess of $700 billion annually just to maintain their military prowess. And that does not necessarily include the supplemental funds that are given for the continued occupation of Afghanistan and Iraq as well. And of course, in Somalia, they are essentially underwriting the transitional federal government there. AMISOM, which is the African Union mission in Somalia, it's really not an African Union project. The troops that are there in Somalia, most of them come from Uganda and Burundi, which are two countries in East Africa that are heavily allied with the United States and are heavily subsidized by the United States. So we see this as an extension of U.S. military involvement in the Horn of Africa. Then, of course, in Djibouti, which is also in the Horn of Africa, right on the Indian Ocean near the Gulf of Aden, the U.S. has a military base there along with France. So we see all these developments taking place. Even though they have not been able to establish a headquarters of AFRICOM on the continent, they still have projects with individual African countries that essentially has the same objective as AFRICOM. So this is something we should definitely be cognizant of, And I think the peace movement in this country and the anti-war movement in this country needs to place greater emphasis on what is happening in the Horn of Africa, what is happening in Sudan, what is happening in southern Africa, particularly in the nation of Zimbabwe, which just commemorated its 30th anniversary of independence. Mm-hmm. So all of these developments are interrelated. The Middle East, Africa, and U.S. foreign policy towards these two geopolitical regions.